in the dock. Well, you need those kind of guys, you really do, in management.
He's really, for the most part, one man now, if you do what he is. He just,
almost everybody here in the way. The continuing saga, the opt-out, at the last meeting we'd given. The agency directions for drafting Bill, Ken, appears to me has done pretty much exactly what we were going to include. If anybody has any specific questions, I think now would be the time to raise them and settle them. Otherwise, I would assume at the end of this meeting we'll have this introduced as legislation to get started through the process. Like this is the 102nd day, it's a fancy thing, but I should only delay it much longer. Is any, yeah.
That may be rhetorical, but I just had a quick chance to read this before coming over.
Oh, yeah.
The IBU, or the Marine Corps, excuse me, is that future service credit only?
Yes. Yeah.
That was my opinion.
Yeah, I thought it was.
That was the main reason for including him separately there, as included in the system was to specify that group of employees that Greg represents and to restrict it to future service.
Did you come up with a new bill from the one we had last time?
Yes.
Could I have a copy of that?
Yes.
I think this is it.
Thank you very much.
Only one correction that I've lost since this went out, and that is on page 3, line 18, that ought to read January 1st, 1980 instead of 1978.
Where are you again?
Page 3, line 18, 1980 instead of 78. I didn't catch any others in reading it on written.
There was something that hadn't been underlined before, but that's this, and you now have underlined.
Right.
It's starting in line 25. Anyway, it's updating over on page 1. All that flight stuff should be underlined.
That should have been fixed.
Yeah,
all that is the reprints.
Yeah. Okay. Well, does anybody have any questions we want to raise?
Only one question, Ken. Why is it you define the Marine employees affected as those who are covered by union or group retirement system?
Simply because that's the language that was used to exclude them before, which is what they're on page 2, line 9, and I figured that there was, without being really super knowledgeable, that there were other employees of the division who are already covered in PERS and PEW, and I just wanted to get those who were previously covered, not get any of the others by mistake. And so I just used that same language.
Do you have any problem with it? Or?
Well, it suggests, and we know they're going to be covered under 2 if this passes, all right, but it just suggests a negative approach.
I didn't have any intention to do that, but I just didn't want to.
That's a good point.
When I picked up the paper, that's the first thing that I zeroed in on. My question that came to my mind was, well, why are they interested in being in the PERS system if they're already covered under one of the days contributing?
Oh, I understand your point, but I just didn't want to, in other words, remove the past service from, you know, submarine transportation employees who are already covered. You know, the only reason for putting you there anyway, you know, was that.
I understand. I have no problem with what you've done, except that I'm just suggest that maybe there might be other language to find those people that might be a little more palatable.
What if we said some words to this about covered by an international union contract? That would be exactly the same groups, wouldn't it?
It would.
you're obviously, the only international union contracts, are exactly the same people that have the union group retirement system.
Or you could, employees of the Division of Marine Transportation engaged in operating a state freight system who are covered by a maritime union contract.
Yeah, that's even better. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It's going to be tough enough explaining something this complex without having somatic problems.
You know you can do it, Mike, but don't you do it.
I've got a question on clarification,
yeah.
If I might ask. Page 6. Line 10, we get into this business about the employees covered under the Alaska Public Employees Retirement System, except peace officers and firemen. They make a contribution of an additional 7.7% of the gross monthly compensation.
Right.
Now, is that in essence, that takes up the slack where Social Security leaves off, right? Is that what that amounts to?
Hardly. Our actuaries told us that we have expressed as a level percentage of pay, 10.2% to work with.
Okay.
These improvements to the PERS per se for the non-uniform people, according to his cost estimates, come to 7.7%.
In addition to what they're contributing now, right?
Right.
For retirement.
What they're contributing, but total cost to the system.
Okay.
An additional 7.7%.
Now, is that 7.7% of the employee's salary, or is it a 50-50 deal? I don't remember exactly what we were talking about last time.
We've got 10.2 here in the pot.
Right.
Percent. That is both the employee's contributions, which would have gone to Social Security, and the employer's lumped together.
And that's the total?
10.2,
okay.
Right. Now, having commingled those contributions, albeit in the name of an individual employee, first you take off, take off the 7.7% for the PERS improvements if he is a person covered by PERS. Okay, so that leaves, 2.5% left.
Okay.
Okay. From that will be deducted the cost of the survivors and disability benefits under sections 150 and 160 of 3930. And I think those came to 0.86% of pay, as I recall.
Okay.
Okay, so you take that off and you're down to 1.64% of pay left.
Okay.
That will be channeled into a deferred compensation account in the name of that particular employee. The 1.64% might be regarded as a buffer, a contingency amount in case the cost of that disability and survivor insurance rose somewhat, but still it would be covered out of the Social Security contribution.
But that's a mandatory contribution to deferred comp, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The way it's currently drafted, the employees and the employer would make whatever contribution they would have otherwise made to the Social Security system.
Okay.
Which brings me maybe to one point which might be raised at this time, if that's okay. Mike Murray had come up with a suggestion that Sherry gave me. And, well, there were several, but one of which seemed sort of commendable to me was to, and it might answer some of Pat's questions from last time, was how about if we peg the contributions to the schedule, which is now in effect. In other words, well, what we're contributing 585 or 605, and it's scheduled to go up in increments over the future and also the wage base. Well, we could peg the contributions to that schedule, which is now in existence, and not allow it to go up if by some unlikely chance Congress increased the contributions or go down either if Congress decreased them. In other words, in effect, to guarantee the 10.2%, which would make it 10.2, that the cost figures would still be in line, that margin would look better, and that might satisfy the concerns of some legislators who don't like the open-endedness of it, that is being hooked to what Congress may do at some time in the future as opposed to a schedule that they can look at now with certainty.
What we're tying it to then is the 77 changes as enacted by Congress, which the consultant used anyway to come up with the 10.2.
That's right. I got the language.
And then we can tell the legislature that
it will
look
be
at
this.
You,
you
know what you're
going to
get now, and it may go up.
That's what you're getting.
But you know we're locked in now, and it can't go up any higher.
That's right.
And that seemed to be one of the concerns of some of the people we talked to, that they were buying this roller coaster. So,
which, what, I mean, I don't understand about that, though, is the fact that they've got a roller coaster right now if we do not.
Well, that's true.
Well, there is some probability that the cost may go down. Not much.
Yeah.
Not much. Nothing ever comes down. But it's a possibility. Or they may increase it. I have the language here if you want to hear it, if it's necessary.
Yeah, well, sure. You're in.
Sure, yeah.
Well,
the total future social security contributions represented as a percentage of payroll, that's a 10.2%, shall not be adjusted as a result of any increase or decrease in social security taxes resulting from federal legislation, which would increase or decrease future social security taxes above or below those taxes resulting from federal legislation passed in 1977. And there may be simpler language, but I couldn't think of it.
I have a suggestion. Why don't you get into the... I would rather see that come out of compromise work that the legislature come out with. Because you can't answer every question that's going to come up here.
Yeah.
Sure that if enough people raise their voice in opposition to, the runaway situation, that's what you said is going to come out of. I think that would be a good idea to hold that down. But that's just my feeling.
Well, if it's going to come out, it's not enough.
Sure.
Yeah. And that may be our compromise.
You got to give the legislature something to do.
Yeah, right. Otherwise, we don't feel.
Yeah, the most important thing is to get that bill out. If we have to wait another week for redrafting and then another meeting to review it.
No, it wouldn't be my intention to have another meeting.
I think, though, it's a good idea to present this. One reason there's a lot of push to get out of Social Security is because we're kind of always having this possibility of taxes being increased quite a bit. And this would have a lot of members and employees that have been in Social Security would realize that for that reason, that this would guarantee them that they're not going to gain any more money out, whether it's going to the current system or the Social Security system. What if they were out of Social Security?
Well, let's, if it's all right with the group, let's hold that as our fallback, and I'm not even putting myself, frankly, to it as one member that at least certainly worth consideration. But I'd rather, frankly, if we're going to do it, I'd rather do it in committee, because otherwise, if we start out with this, and we're going to have to fall back even further, maybe against some conservative thing. Yeah.
What accommodation has been made in here for the state employees covered by the teachers' retirement system on opting out?
They're already out of Social Security.
They're in teachers' retirement system.
They're not in Social Security.
Those employees covered by Department Education or working in Department Education don't contribute.
Right, they're not in Social Security.
They're out of Social Security.
Yeah, that was my understanding.
The only reason I'm sure of it is one of our executive committee people, Vern Williams, is the director over in education. He's out of the system.
Yeah, he's in PRS.
That's
so
right.
He doesn't have a secretary.
Do you have anything that you want to say before the group?
Just one of them. I remember he put a sponsor on it.
I will introduce it by letter to the council by request of the committee on withdrawal.
When will you put it in the offer then?
As soon as we get a ring. Yeah, well, by letter to the council by request. Whatever the official title is.
Is there anyone here from public safety right now?
No.
You know, after the last meeting, you know, we had decided that we would go for the 3% down. Well, I'm not speaking for public safety, however, you know, I think their benefit performing now is going to be less than what ours was. I think we were present after we decided that. Is that true?
They've got the full extra percent. The only difference between the uniformed and the non-uniformed is that the uniformed people, since they wouldn't know what from the 25 and out already having a 20 and out, are not paying that 0.9%.
Well, they get the
so that it goes into their
account. Yeah, they're not paying for it and don't get it. And so they're just giving it that one expense and ready for it.
Okay, anybody last go around for
I'm sure it's not going to influence anybody's thinking at this point in time, but I have to state again for the record that there are several aspects of this bill that my agency is going to have to take exception to and object to after its introduction. 25 and out, inclusion of the Marine employees and so on. So I just state that once again for the record.
I think that was sort of a given. We appreciate your
help. Paul, we
just
wish
you.
Paul, we haven't missed you.
Your bravery and your candor.
No comment.
He has a card he carries around like the Miranda.
All right. Thank you all for your patience.
You gotta wait without taking your pencil again.
You're right.
Casio, is that the manufacturer?
Yeah. I'm told it's an officer.
It's got virtually everything this one's got. Doesn't have a percentage to give a sound. Sound is crazy.